What prompted you to become a foster carer in the first place?
It's something I'd considered for a number of years, and when I found myself single again, it was something that I pursued because I was able to make that choice on my own and not have to consider the impact that it would have on somebody else. So that was the real reason I did it.
Well,
yeah.
The fact that you can do it as a single parent, I think, is probably going to be news to some people.
I think there is a myth out there that you can't be a single carer, and actually in a number of situations it's a really positive thing to have, that you've only got one adult in the house, particularly if somebody's had a very traumatic experience, with two adults. You know, they've perhaps seen some domestic violence or they've been subject to other abuse. It is very comforting sometimes for children to come to an environment where there's just one adult and they only have one person to consider, one person's rules as they see, you know. So
now, I know you've got a full-time job. How do you manage to juggle that and the duties of a foster carer?
I'm very fortunate that my employer does support me. When I made the decision to foster full-time, I spoke to my manager and negotiated for me to have a more flexible way of working. I've obviously the same as everybody else who works, I've got annual leave, so I use that and it works really, really well. I do use an out-of-school club and I do use a holiday club if I need to, the same way as any other working parent would need to manage home and work. So I don't look at it any differently. Now we're so established in our relationship, I just see the little girl that lives with me as part of my family, and I support her the same way as I would have done my other children. So that's how it is, really.
So you said that you'd done short-term caring before. Why did you make the change to long-term foster care?
Social services were in a position where they'd got somebody who needed a long-term placement, and they felt that my life experience, my work experience, would make me a suitable person to support her. And we had those discussions and I made that move to take somebody long-term, and it works for me. It works now. At the time, I did consider, was this too much to take on, working and making a full-time commitment to somebody? But actually it works much better when somebody's there with you the whole time, because you actually you can adapt your life for the two of you. You know exactly what's going to happen, you can plan well in advance, where if you're taking somebody on respite, that's just for short blocks of time every now and again, so that actually can be more difficult to manage.
What are the best parts of long-term fostering then?
I think one of the things that really sticks in my mind is the little girl who lives with me. She has got some very difficult behaviours. But last year when I sat and she performed in a concert and she sang beautifully, and you would not have imagined that she had any difficulties whatsoever. And actually I felt like just like any other proud mum when she stood up there. When we've been on holiday and we've had a really, really positive time away, we've both come away rested, then it's, to me, it's just the same as having my own child there. So I forget that she's not my child. You know, she's just part and parcel of me. She's part and parcel of my family, other people that I know. She's just seen as being part of our family. So
I imagine there must be challenges though.
I wouldn't be naive enough to tell you that there aren't challenges. But it must be really, really difficult if you're asked to come and live with somebody that you don't know. As an adult, it's difficult getting used to a child living in your house. But if you've been a child who's moved around, who's experienced real difficulties and been exposed to things that we can't imagine what it must have been like, and then to ask them to come and live somewhere and you don't know that person, it must be so frightening, you know. So building up the relationship when you first get to know each other is really, really difficult, but it is well worth it at the end of it. When you can look back 6 months down the line or a year down the line and say, when you first came, this was really difficult and we didn't understand each other, and you've learned from each other, and then you can look back and you can say, we actually see each other as a family now. That, to me, is the most positive part of it.
What sort of support do you get from the fostering team?
I've got a really, really fantastic fostering social worker. She's supported me on my journey from the day I made the inquiry about becoming a foster carer. It's the same person who supported me all the way through. And she's got to know me, I've got to know her, and it's a fantastic relationship. If I've got absolutely any difficulties whatsoever, I just pick up the phone and she will do whatever she can to support me. And I can't praise her enough for what she actually does. So the fostering team in my area are very, very active and very positive and support you as a foster carer. And they do recognise how difficult things can be, and they will just sit and listen to you if you've got a difficulty, and they will support you as much as possible.
What advice, if any, would you be able to offer to single people who are considering fostering?
I would say if you're considering fostering, then talk to somebody who can tell you what it's like. It's been the most positive thing that I've ever done, and I genuinely mean that. You know, it's something that once you're involved in it, and once you've got through the first difficult few weeks of building up a relationship with somebody, you will love every minute of it.